I've been giving him a hard time all week about it, so. He liked it a lot. He loves y'all's people. He told me he'd come down here and we could swap. That's what he said. If y'all have a trucking job, he could make that happen, I can guarantee you. Yeah, as long as he can drive an 18-wheeler, boy, he's excited about it. No, he had a great time, and my parents, or my mom and my sister had a good time. We got to do all that. They enjoyed being able to sing, and it's always easier when they sing with me because I'm so much better, right? Y'all lighten up just a little bit. It's all right. I'm just joking, kind of, to my sister anyways. This week, we had a few things going on. They had think about my grandfather. My grandfather's one of them. He's as old as dirt. You know, he came over on the Mayflyer and all that good stuff. He's dealt with heart problems all pretty much since I can remember. He's had some kind of heart problem. He's had like 7 heart attacks, 2 open heart surgeries. I told him the other day, I said, "You just don't know when to die, do you?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm just going to keep kicking as long as God allows me to." And he does that. He don't slow down. He worked for a long, long time, and then he's been retired for about 4 or 5 years now. So he's getting on up in age. He's about 80, I think he's around 85 now. So he's getting on up in age. But yes, sir, this past week he had a Watchman procedure put in, which is supposed to stop with blood clots to his brain and stuff like that, keep him from having strokes. He's never had a stroke, but they're trying to make sure that that does not happen to him. So be thinking about him. And then I found out yesterday we had a Christmas thing with my stepmother-in-law. So we went over to the lake and we were enjoying all that time and found out that my stepbrother-in-law, he was my basketball coach growing up in high school. So I've known him all my life. And his dad used to hunt with my dad back. My dad used to be a hunter. My dad will not go sit in a tree stand for anything nowadays, but my dad used to like to hunt a little bit when he was younger. And his dad used to take him, so Brother Tom is his name, and he just found out that he has the first stages of Parkinson's disease. And it's really difficult for him because he's very much an outdoors man. I mean, he's hunted since he was a teenager, and to not be able to sit in a tree stand is killing him. He can't hold the gun still anymore. He just can't. He can't do it anymore. And last week, it for some reason got a little bit worse. They said all he was doing pretty much was sitting in his chair at home, and he would watch YouTube videos of hunting videos. That's all he'd do. He'd type in hunting videos, and he'd just sit there and watch them for hours and hours and hours. And now he can't type anymore. So it's gotten to the point that he can't even actually type out the stuff. So be praying about that situation because I'm not sure exactly how fast that'll go. My wife's grandmother died with Parkinson's, and she had it really bad. It really broke her down. My great-grandmother had Parkinson's, but she passed away before it got to the hospital stages and all that. So I know that it can go bad quickly. So definitely be praying for them through all of that. That's just a few things. Be praying for Kevin. I know we had a good time last week, and I'm glad that we had that time, but some things that you don't think about are when my dad left his church last week, he had to get somebody to preach for him. Well, Kevin West preached for him last week, and they had a fantastic service last week. Kevin did a great job and got to preach. That's the first time he's preached since he found out that he had all the stuff going on, and they said he did a phenomenal job, and I'm sure that he did, but I think it was good for him to be able to get back in the pulpit, to be able to preach and just let God be God. So I beg you to pray for him. They think everything's going to be fine, but most of you know that some things can turn in a moment, but he has a lot of peace, and he's comforted by that, and he's a strong man. He makes me feel awful sometimes because of how strong he is with his faith and things of God, and he don't even get worried about it. And I'm sure there's moments and times that he does, but he doesn't let you know it. he just keeps on pressing forward, and whatever God does, God will do, and he'll be all right with it. But be praying for him that we'll see the outcome of that be a lot better than what it could be. This morning, we're going to kind of conclude the dispensational study on the spokesman. We've already been through most of all that stuff, and we'll finish that up this week. And next week, of course, will be a different kind of service because we're only going to have one service, so we won't do this kind of stuff next week. We've gone through the spokesman in the Old Testament. We've gone through the spokesman in the Gospels. We've gone through spokesmen in the readiness, tribulation, millennium. And we've gone through the spokesman in Acts. And we're finishing up with a spokesman in the our dispensation, the church age dispensation. Dispensations are, to me, not something that is difficult to really understand. It's just rightly dividing the word of truth. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that. People make it more complicated than what it really is. But I think if you honestly look at the Word of God and just take it for what it is, you'll understand that it is divided up into certain things. It's pretty easy to see. It's not all the same. It didn't all work the same in different times, and people can't grasp that for some reason. And I personally think it's because they don't want to. It's like I told you, it's easier to preach it without it sometimes. Now, I can't, because I think it's easier to preach it with it. Because I understand when I go to Old Testament, I understand what they're dealing with. When I get into Acts, I understand that's transition, so I know there's some things going on there. When I get to the church age, I understand what I'm talking about is to me. And then when I go off into tribulation, readiness, and millennium, I know what they're talking about. To me, I don't know how to preach it any other way than that. I just don't. But I understand when you go to most churches that that becomes more difficult for them, because what they've always said in the pulpit, you can't say anymore. You just can't make it fit. You can try, but you're going to take it out of context to get it there. So I don't understand the arguments with it. And being a preacher, you get in arguments about it. And I say arguments, it's discussions or whatever you want to call it. But we get in them all the time. I was in one this week. We was on a chat thing, and man, it blew up. You know how that happens. You start off and it's all one guy makes a post, and then it's like boom, and everybody else has got to put their 2 cents worth in on it. And the thing about it is, if you don't agree with it, leave it alone. What's so hard about that? If you don't like it, leave it alone. If you don't like dispensational teaching to a point, okay, guess what? Then take what you do like and leave the rest of it alone. If it doesn't go against the Word of God, really can't say much about it, can you? You got to have Bible to back up what you believe. If you don't have Bible to back up what you believe, you just believe whatever. That's the reason why we have so many denominations now, right? You don't like this one, you don't like this flavor, go find a different flavor, right? Because we've gotten away from actually letting the Word of God just be the Word of God. So we're going to kind of finish this up, and then we're going to kind of discuss some of that today, and then we'll be done with this part of dispensations. And to me, this is the basis of dispensational stuff, okay? This stuff gets way deeper than all of this. Trust me, it gets way deeper. And we've hit on some pretty big topics, okay? We've hit on some controversial things over the course of going through what we've been through. But I promise you, it can get a lot more controversial. And I try to gauge things a certain way. And my intention is to not just tick you off and make you mad, okay? That's not my intention. My intention is that you'll learn something from the Word of God. That's my whole intention. I have no desire to make you mad and run you off. Okay? If you think that's my desire, then you have totally missed it somewhere. Because I've said 100 times, you do not have to agree with me. But you do have to look at the Word of God and make it line up with the Word of God properly. You do have to do that. So, we're going to talk about a misconception, a common misconception that must be dispelled. Some people claim to do everything the Bible says to do. Now, have you ever read some of the requirements in the Old Testament? That hurts, don't it? If you attempt to do everything in the Bible, you are going to have a very difficult time keeping your sanity. You know why? Because it ain't always the same. It hasn't always been the same. We must obey the commands given by our spokesman in order to comprehend exactly what it is that God would have us to do. 2 Timothy 2:15, I've quoted it 1,000 times. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. When we rightly divide the Bible, naturally it allows the Bible to interpret itself when considering any particular command or scripture. Just let the Bible be the Bible. Just let it be the Bible. That's all that it's ever... Don't try to correct it all the time. I'm sick and tired of preachers that get up and try to fix this. Here's the thing. What do you believe in? Let's just get down to it, okay? What do you believe in? Do you believe that the King James Bible is the infallible, inerrant, inspired Word of God? Do you believe that, or do you just say you believe it? Because if it's good enough to say, I believe this book is right, then guess what? Just take it for what it says. Don't try to correct it. Don't try to make it say stuff that it doesn't say. Don't try to take your mind and let it be manipulated by everything else that you can find online, because that's exactly what you'll do. That's exactly what you'll do. You can get online and find anything you want to find out. If you want to take a point of view, guess what? Somebody's already got it. Somebody's already got that point of view. All you got to do is look it up. Google it. Google must be right, right? Everything you look online is right. It's facts. The problem is they contradict itself too. Why? Because nobody can agree on anything. I just take the book for what it says. We have this conversation at work a lot because I'm a King James Bible only. That's what I believe is the Word of God. I have made no bones about it. I don't care if it makes you mad. That's the book. I've proven it. It proves itself. It's always been right there. Anytime I've ever tried to question it or go against it, guess what? It's always came back right every time. It's the Word of God. I believe God can preserve it. That's what I believe. He said He could. I'm just dumb enough to take Him at His word. But we get into work discussions all the time about Bible because I'm basically the only one that believes that way. Everybody else takes a different translation and they say this one's better and this one explains it better. No, you know what it does? It just changes it. It just changes it. And then they make that seem like that's not a big deal. Here's the problem with that. People will call me a hyper-dispensationalist. Why? Because their Bible don't read the same way mine does. Because they've already made theirs fit where every dispensation is exactly the same. But they had to change the book to do it. They had to go write them a different one. I don't even like to say translation. This is not a translation. This is not a translation. This is the Bible. Everything else is a translation. It all comes from something else, right? What does it come from? It comes from this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Guess what? It was in the beginning. It'll be in the end. You won't get rid of it. I know they think that they will, but they will not get rid of it. They may be able to take the paper and the leather away from you, but they'll never take the Word of God away. That will not happen. If you want to understand the Word of God, you better find the Word of God. You better find a final authority. You see, that's always my argument. It's always been my argument. It always will be my argument. Somebody comes up and says, I don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. You can take that position. I'll let you take it. But my next question is going to be then, what is your final authority? Because it can't be all of them. I'd have more respect if you just pick one. I'd have more respect for if you just picked one. The NIV, that's my Bible, okay? The ASV, that's my Bible. The problem is, if you're a King James only, guess what? That's the only one you read, that's the only one you believe, right? Everybody else, they believe all the rest of them's fine, including this one. Oh, you can read them all. It's fine. It's fine. It doesn't matter. And then they'll get into originality. You got to go back to the originals. Well, that's funny. My dad puts it this way, and I thought it was really good. Moses goes up on that mount. Okay? He goes up on that mount. And God writes them 10 commandments down, right? The first time. God wrote those down, okay? What was that? That was original, wasn't it? God penned it himself. God etched it in those stones. Then what happened? He broke them. Then what happened? He had to go back up there, and what did God make him do? God said, you're going to write them this time. Guess what? It wasn't original. It wasn't original anymore. The originals got broken to a million pieces when he decided to get mad about it. It wasn't original. If you believe that the Greek and the Hebrew are original, then go get them. If I thought that the Greek and the Hebrew was original, if I thought that it was better than this, I would read that. You say, well, you can't. You're exactly right, but you could learn. Guess what? I studied Greek and Hebrew in college. I know I look dumb, but I'm not as completely stupid, okay? Trust me, I study just a little bit, especially when it comes to this right here. I may not know ins and outs about everything, but this right here, I put a lot of time and effort into it. But then you have people running around trying to tell you different things in the Word of God, and then they'll take the Greek and the Hebrew and they'll try to show how smart they are. They got to be intelligent, right? The preacher's got to be smarter than everybody else. They got to give you something you can't get yourself, right? Come on, that's the way they act. I'm just telling you how it is. If you want to look smart as a preacher, go get you a couple of Greek and Hebrew words, throw them in there wherever you want to, make them fit. Then you can look smarter than everybody else in the congregation. When in reality, you can go Google the same words that the preacher Googled. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, those are taken out of context too. Why? Because they've changed. The dialects are not the same anymore. Oh no, right? Oh no. So now we have a problem. Then they want to get into agape love and phileo love. They want to sound spiritual. How about you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and go realize that it's just love. And it's all the same. Just blew your mind, right? You see, I just take the Bible for what it is. I don't try to correct it. I don't care what you've heard all your life. It doesn't make any difference to me what they preach year in and year out. I'm here to tell you right now, if the Bible says it's love. That's all that it is. You ain't got to try to create it into something. It's a more intimate love. It's a more... No, it's just love. That's what it is. Quit trying to correct it. Quit trying to be smarter than everybody else. Just believe the book if you're going to believe it. If you don't, then go find something that you do believe. Just go find something that you say, this is my final authority, and I agree with it. Or be like everybody else and say you prefer this over something else. I like that one too. I prefer the King James Bible because it's the closest thing. Well, that's hogwash. I prefer it. Why would you prefer something? That's kind of like hoping that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. Boy, I sure hope that happened. I sure hope that that really is true. I sure hope that nothing changed in there. I sure hope somebody wrote that down correctly. I really do. Because if it didn't, you have no hope. Right? You ain't got nothing to look forward to. There's no sense in us being here. We all be deer hunting right now. Right? You could be working, making more money. There would be no point in church. So when the people get on you about being dispensational, get this. One, everybody's dispensational. Everybody. It just depends on where they draw their dispensational line at. Okay? That's all that determines dispensation. It depends on where you want to draw your line at. Because I can guarantee you right now, I ain't seen anybody build an ark when it rained. Not one time. Not one time. So guess what? They've determined that, hey, that one don't apply to me. That one doesn't apply to me. But I'm going to work for my salvation. Well, what kind of sense does that make? If it's no more of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, me, right? That took you out of the equation, didn't it? I got to seeing something the other day, and I was looking through it. We were talking a little bit about the stoning of Stephen. And I thought this was real good. And you might not think it was as good as I did, but I thought it was great. Stephen's stoning in Acts. Very familiar scriptures. We talked about the fact that he was standing at the right hand of the Father. Why was he standing? We talked about it because he's ready to come back. Now, I heard this one last week. This one cracked me up. I heard this statement when I was at work last week because we were talking about this whole scenario playing out, and I was saying, you know, he was standing because he was ready to come back. He was giving those Jews one more shot. And I'm going to get there in a second because it was real, real good. I mean, like, God just gave it to me and I like had a fit right there at work. So I'm sitting there and they said, no. He was standing because God stands every time a saint dies. I said, well, then he must never sit down. Because that don't make a whole lot of sense. I was like, I don't know where y'all got that from, but whatever. Okay. I don't agree with you on that one. Standing because a saint died. I mean, that sounds cute, don't it? You see, that's the problem with preachers nowadays. It sounded cute. It'd be nice to get up here and say, every time a saint dies, God stands up to welcome them home. No. No, that's not how it works. I hate to burst your little bubble. That's not how that works. He's standing at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because he was ready to come back, set up his kingdom. Think about this. The Jews rejected God the Father in the Old Testament. They rejected God the Son in the Gospels. And they rejected God the Spirit in Acts. They rejected all three parts. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Look at Acts 7:51. I got more out of it than y'all did. I am going to buy me a sign that says amen right here and hold it up. That's a great idea, Brother Tim. Acts 7:51. Bible says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. That's what Stephen told him. He's being stoned. He's fixing to get stoned. Guess what? He's been preaching. I don't know if you've ever read Acts chapter 7, but you ought to read it, because he's preaching to hide off everybody in Acts chapter 7. Okay, they are mad when he gets done. That's the whole reason why he gets stoned now. You ought to read it. It's good stuff. Because he is evermore preaching. He is just getting it. And they mad at him. And then he calls them out. He says, hey, they didn't believe him over here. They rejected him over there. You're going to do the same thing over here. You're going to do the same thing right here. You're going to reject him just like your fathers did. Just like your fathers did. That was the last shot. Jesus Christ sits back down. Sits back down. Then what happens? Paul comes on the scene, right? Paul comes on the scene, we get a different gospel. Now that scares everybody right there. When you say different gospel, that makes people just cringe in their seat. How could it be a different gospel? How could it not be one? How could it not? What is your set of beliefs? What does that call? It's called doctrine, right? You have a doctrine that you believe. What is formed in your doctrine? Formed in your doctrine is what you believe to be saved. That's part of your doctrinal belief. I believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe you have to believe those things to be saved. If you don't, you'll die and go to hell. That is my doctrine. That's what I believe doctrinally. I believe we don't go to a holding place. I don't believe we go to purgatory. I don't believe we go to these different places that everybody tries to make up. Where do they get it from? Paradise. They get it from paradise. Well, paradise has been done away with. We've already talked about that. He let captivity captive. That's all been done away with. Guess what? So we sit there and we know that that's not set into place. That's not a part of my doctrine. My part of my doctrine is he rent the veil from top to bottom. That's done away with. I get to go straight to the Father when I die. My doctrine is the fact that I'm a part of the body of Christ. Yeah, I'm a member in particular. I'm a body of Christ. It's not the church. It's the whole body. Everybody that's saved is in the body. Okay? That's a part of my doctrine. That's what I believe. That's all wrapped up in the same thing. Guess what? The apostles had a doctrine too. They had an Old Testament doctrine too. It was whatever they believed in that doctrine. In the Old Testament, they're sitting there looking for a kingdom to be set up. Not a cross. Not a cross. You see, that's a misconception too. Everybody says they're looking at a cross or they're looking back towards the cross. No, they're looking towards a kingdom and it didn't get set up because they rejected him. Guess what? The cross is set over here for us. Past that point, it's tribulation. What are they looking for in the tribulation? Not the cross. Why would you look back at it? I guess I'd be looking forward still, wouldn't I? And I'd be looking for a kingdom. Be looking for God to rule and reign, right? Be looking for all those things. I wouldn't be looking back at the cross. He's already died. You already decided you rejected that part. Ain't no sense in looking back at it now. I believe God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Well, that ain't going to do you a whole lot of good when you make it over here. I mean, it's good to know, but it ain't going to do you any good part of your salvation. You're going to have to endure to the end. Go to James. Go to Hebrews. They can lose their salvation in James and Hebrews. Yeah, they can commit apostasy. You ever thought about that? Where do you think Free Will Baptists get it from? They get it from James. They get it from Hebrews. That's the reason why you got to rightly divide the word of truth. You got to be in the right dispensation. Because if you're not, guess what? You're going to get confused. You're going to get over somewhere where you don't belong. And you're going to end up reading something and taking it for yourself. The problem is when you say all those things, everybody gets up tight. But why can't you just say, I believe what Paul says. He said, consider what I say and gain understanding in all things. So if I want to understand all things, I got to consider what he said. So I'm going to learn what he said. I'm going to learn what kind of doctrine I'm supposed to have. And then I'm going to get over there a little bit farther when he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. It's all profitable. It's all profitable. Every bit of it is profitable. But you got to understand where it belongs. That's why I can get over in James and realize, you know what, as a Christian, my faith should increase. Now, I'm not enduring to the end. But I understand they're going to have to. I understand they're going to have to. But I don't. I can go back to Old Testament and have a good time. Why? Because it teaches you how to live a good life. You ever looked at the law? You can't keep it, but why shouldn't you try? Now, I'm going to eat pork. Amen to that. And I'm going to eat catfish because I like it. especially whole catfish. I love that stuff. But guess what? I'm going to try to be a good person. And like I've told you before, you know, if you didn't eat as much pork and you didn't eat as much catfish, you'd probably be a lot healthier. I mean, there is some truth to that. Think about it. They got a whole book on diet in like the Old Testament. I read it one time. It was really cool. I never followed it, but I read it. But it's true. You can get a lot of good living over here. But you better watch where you get your doctrine from. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and righteousness. Doctrine when it lines up with what Paul says. Not when it doesn't. Don't make it more complicated. You don't have to agree with me on every dispensational point of view I take. I'm not saying that you have to, okay? I just want you to actually study the Word of God and learn something for yourself. Quit taking what every preacher says in this pulpit that they've done for years and years and years and just told you you had to believe it a certain way. You ain't got to believe it that way. You got to believe it. You got to be able to back it up with the Word of God. You got to be able to open up the Word of God and say, this is why I believe it. This is what I believe. I'm a dispensationalist. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I make no bones about that. I don't care what you think about it. I don't care how you take it. I just believe it because it says rightly divide the word of truth. I'm going to divide it. I'm going to divide it properly. I'm not going to take it out of context. I'm not going to try and make something fit that don't fit. I'm just going to take it for what the Word of God says. That's the same thing I want you to do. Like I said, you don't have to look at it the same way I do. That's perfectly fine. And if you have a question about something you don't understand, ask me. Ask me why I say it. Some people say, well, you don't believe John 3:16 is in this dispensation. I don't. Boom. Talk about making somebody mad. That'll make somebody mad. You'll get a letter. Or 10. You'll make somebody mad. But guess what? It's still in your dispensation. It's a conditional salvation versus an unconditional salvation. Does it apply? Most definitely. He did love the whole entire world that he gave his only begotten son, but he gave him to set up a kingdom at that moment in time. He didn't give him to die yet. Think about it. Think about it. Just put it in its right dispensation. Because I can sit back and look at John 3:16 and think, you know, he gave him for the entire world to be able to see him. And yes, he was supposed to set up his kingdom. Guess what? They rejected him, and they rejected him, and they rejected him. And then guess what? He gives Paul this gospel over here and says, all you got to do is believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he hadn't came to this world and he hadn't died, I would have no hope. That's how you preach John 3:16. That's how it applies. That's when your Bible gets good to you. Because you understand what all took place and how it all laid out. If you got something you don't understand, I'll be more than happy to talk to you about it. I can't give you all the answers, but I'll be happy to talk to you about it. I'd gladly look at it with you. If there's something you don't agree with, that's fine. You don't have to agree with it. If you want to talk to me about it, talk to me about it. If you don't, but keep it to yourself then. Amen. Sit at home and talk about me. That way I don't have to hear it. I just want you to learn something about the Word of God. I hope that you've gotten something out of the dispensational studies, the spokesmans, and all of that. I hope that it's kind of helped you a little bit with the Word of God, being able to divide some certain things out. I hope that you've enjoyed that little bit of study. I don't know what we're going to do next, but I hope that you've at least gotten something out of this. That's my whole goal. That's my whole thing, is just that you'll get something out of the Word of God that can help you go farther. So this morning we're going to close out, and we'll get ready to go into Sunday morning service. Brother Rick, close us in a word of prayer, please.